This is the FM Gold Channel of All India Radio. In the program News Analysis, we now bring you a discussion on recent developments in goods and services tax. The participants are A.K. Bhattacharya, economic analyst, and Shishir Sinha, journalist.
The government has clarified that there is no GST on sale of complex public buildings and ready-to-move-in flats where sale takes place after issue of completion certificate by competent authorities. Mr. Bhattacharya, what do you think? Where is the problem? Is there a lack of awareness? People don't know about this? And that is why the government has to issue a clarification on this?
You see, when the idea of a GST rate to be levied on real estate transactions was mooted, there was this fear that suddenly the 8% rate will inflate the overall the transaction value by that much. And if you want to go in for registration of your property, the GST tax issue will come up. And because 8% is not a small rate, there was this fear. Now, what this clarification is that this seems to suggest that if it is a second transaction, there will be no need for a 8% tax to be paid, which means that if a builder has already got the completion certificate, which means that all the transactions, everything has been paid for, everything has been done, and then he sells it to you or me, and if I buy it from that person who has already got it completion certificate, which would imagine it is a kind of a second sale, so that there is no GST to be levied at all levels of transactions. Now, real estate property may change hands once, twice, three times. Now, you cannot expect that every time there's a transaction takes place, there is an 8% tax that is to be levied by way of GST. What the government has clarified by this measure is that GST will be levied at the entry point where a builder is building a flat, and he will charge GST when he gets the completion certificate and all those formalities done. So this is why this clarification is very necessary and very important, because without which 8% GST, if it is levied at all levels of transactions, first purchase, second purchase, third purchase, then you are actually creating or paving the ground for suppression of the transaction value and probably creation of black money, which is not the intention of GST or any taxation policy.
And that will also defeat the purpose of GST when we say that there will be no tax on tax, and then you are imposing tax on tax.
Absolutely.
Purpose. Now, one needs to understand that affordable housing project has effective rate of 8% while other projects have 12%. Should one ask for the detailed calculation of all the tax computation from a buyer, and is it easy to understand that?
Well, the 8% taxation is to be levied, or 12% is to be levied on the price of the property, which should not include land, because land is still to come under GST.
It is not under GST. There is an abatement
on that. Therefore, it is necessary and it is incumbent on the builders to share that cost breakup, that what is the value of a property on which GST is being paid. So therefore, it should not be on the entire price that you pay for a new building that you pay GST, but you pay GST only on that part of construction related activities, so that even the builder, remember, the builder is the bigger beneficiary of the GST tax of 8% and 12%, because the moment he levies that 8% or 12% on the construction activity undertaken on a flat, then he can claim a set of benefits on all the taxes that he has paid on the various items that he purchased to build the flat. So overall incidence of tax on the builder will be neutralized to a great extent, and therefore flat purchaser has every right to ask for the detailed breakup, because the builder is getting the tax benefit, and if the purchaser is paying that tax, then he or she must know that what is this amount for which the tax is being paid and what are the components of the building on which the tax is paid.
And if I understand correctly, if the cost of development, including the margin, comes around, say, 100 rupees, you just deduct 30 rupees as the cost of land and remaining 70 rupees will be the taxable amount on which the GST to be levied, either at 8% if it is an affordable housing, and if it is non-affordable, then the rate of GST will be 12%.
Absolutely.
Even the builder is charging GST when all the completion certificates have been obtained and everything, or he is charging more than 8% or 12%, what are the rights of a buyer?
I think one is the awareness level. The buyers need to aware themselves, make themselves aware of what is the tax rates. And second, I think it is not very difficult to find out that what are the GST tax rates on these items. And most importantly, no builder or a residential property producing company will ever issue a receipt which shows tax rate which is different from what has been mandated under the law. So therefore, there's both requirement of the purchaser of the flat to ensure that he or she knows what is the tax rate. As you rightly said, it is 8% and 12%, and there's an abatement on the land, on the overall price because of the land. So therefore, I think there's need for greater awareness, and the huge transaction values take place. So therefore, I think it should not create a problem. The real problem was where the secondary purchases were also coming under the tax net. Now, the moment the secondary purchase is taken out of the GST tax net, my sense is that you will also see a kind of a push to the real estate market as such. Because right now, the real estate market at the secondary level is not very active because of this fear that if you are selling it to another person, then immediately the buyer will be charged another 8% or 12%. And then if you are a buyer, how do you get your set off? You don't get any set off. So therefore, it's a very welcome clarification which will, as I said, encourage more people to file this transaction value as they are for their tax returns. And second, it will boost the construction sector because they will be able to, the builder will be able to get the set off. And number three, the secondary market activity will get a push.
There are complaints that builders are taking advantage of input tax credit, but they are not passing to the ultimate consumer. How true this is?
Well, I would not have any direct knowledge of how bad is the situation, but any business activity, I mean, take the case of the restaurant owners. These restaurant owners were inflating the bills when the GST was levied at 18% and 12%, and then it was seen that the entire incidence of that GST was passed on to the customer at the restaurants. So then the government stepped in and said that let there be a flat 5% tax on all restaurant bills up to a certain category of restaurants who they are not part of the big five-star chains. And that, I think, had solved that problem because manufacturers or service providers by nature will not always be open to passing on the benefits of GST tax, the set of benefits that they get. So therefore, I think what is happening in the real estate sector is if there is an 8% tax or a 12% tax on the first construction and first stage level, then I would imagine not the builder but the consumers should actually negotiate a little hard on the prices, because they should tell the builders that, listen, you're now getting a benefit of all your taxes that you pay down the line. So I think it requires a redressal mechanism. It requires the government to take necessary action in terms of sharing the information with the people so that builders don't make money out of their tax, and the consumers get the benefit of taxation system that is supposed to be the taxpayer friendly.
You talked about a redressal mechanism. There is a system called National Anti-Profiteering Authority, which is supposed to look after all kind of profiteering allegation. How effective this mechanism is?
So far, it is not functioned to the desired level, because what has happened is that even if the National Anti-Profiteering Authority asks for reimbursement of the extra gains some companies may have made, there is no mechanism as yet by which this money can be reimbursed or transferred to the unjust enrichment fund. There is an unjust enrichment fund with the government, but I think that the fund is still dormant. This needs to be revived. So my sense is anti-profiteering authority had an impact on the conduct of trade and industry, but we have not seen much of action from this body so far.
And just to inform our listener that there is a helpline number for National Anti-Profiteering Authority, and that number is 011-214-00643. You can dial in to get information about how to complain, how to register a complaint. I just repeat the number, that is 011-214-00643. And you can also file your complaint online. There was one decision by National Anti-Profiteering Authority against a realtor. Now the realtor has moved to High Court, and High Court has stayed the order of National Anti-Profiteering Authority. Do you think that this will really second the trust of consumer?
I think the consumer must understand there is a legal process and we need quick redressal mechanism. There is no doubt about it. But you cannot possibly deny builder the right to seek legal redressal through the available courses that are in the system. If he goes to the High Court, you cannot deny him that right. But from the consumer side, from the purchaser side, I would say that it is necessary that such cases need to be settled very fast, because ultimately it is a question of consumers who are otherwise not organized, and therefore an organized body like a corporate or a builder can probably take steps by which, through delays or through these legal long pending processes, so it might hurt consumer sentiment. So probably the government can step in and ensure that such cases, when they go to the higher courts of law, then they should be settled within a given time frame, or maybe refer them to the small economic courts that are coming up in different parts of the country to settle other company law issues and many other cases. So maybe it's time to consider such innovative options so that consumers don't have to wait for long to get their grievances redressed.
And isn't something that, since this authority has been set up just for the 2 years, so do you think that it is not giving the kind of confidence which a permanent body, which a body which will last for longer times, will give that?
I am of the view that this body should not continue beyond its valid period, because I think there was this fear that inflation will really skyrocket after the introduction of GST. Now, what we have seen in the last year and a half is that inflation has remained quite subdued, quite benign, and actually there are some economists who believe that maybe inflation remaining so benign is not too good for economic growth. So in this situation, I think the government has done really well in making sure that the GST has not been instrumental or has not been responsible for an inflationary fears in the economy, and the GST Council has taken some interventionist measures in November 2017 and again in July 2018 by reducing the rates on many items. So most of the items are now in 18. If the government thinks that it must move towards unifying the rates and bring them into 2 or 3 slabs, then it will require to raise the rates of some items. Maybe at that point in time, the anti-profiteering authority will be useful. But I think as a measure of confidence building, profiteering authority should not be extended, because these are interventions that are not necessarily very beneficial for economic enterprise.
My last question to you, that there has been a lot of debate of bringing real estate under GST. Do you think that this will really solve the problem to bring entire real estate? We have some component of real estate, that means the services, the construction activities, they are under GST, but not the entire real estate. Do you think this will really solve the problem?
I think we have to sequence this. It is not possible to bring in new items under GST when the existing GST is yet to fully stabilize. Ideally, yes, real estate should be part of GST, just as remaining petroleum products should be part of GST. So the simple answer to your question is yes, real estate should be part of GST, but has the time come right now? I think GST must first be allowed to stabilize and then go in for these further inclusions like petroleum products or real estate.
Mr. Bhattacharya, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You are listening to a discussion on recent developments in goods and services tax The participants were A.K. Bhattacharya, economic analyst, and Shishir Sinha, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. This program is also available on our website newsonair.nic.in.